I know.
No, I'm just joking.
You ever hear the 5 minute
story? Oh, yeah.
Okay. Item six, review of portfolio rebalancing report. Tim?
Great. So we're going to talk about some of the mechanics of FFP in the form of refreshing the liquidity program and generalized rebalancing here. And this is the first time that we've done a rebalancing under the FFP construct, so I'm going to walk through this in a little bit more detail than I have in past years. But you know, stop me with questions along the way, as always. We timed the rebalancing Sarah portfolio to coincide with the annual employer prepayments. This is a big slug of cash that we get every roughly July 31. It's an opportune time to deploy that capital and to keep all our money in motion, kind of confined to a single period here, so we can get some offsetting cash flows. This year it was $293 million came in from the employer prepayment, so a big chunk of capital this year. And then we did pretty extensive rebalancing to get the liquidity program back up to its new fourth year, and to generally take money off the table within the domestic equity space and bring up our exposure in emerging markets. But I'm going to walk you through this. We had a conversation with the board back in July about the phase 2B asset allocation targets. Again, this is the phased implementation of FFP. The phase 2B targets really got to the emerging market piece fully funded and a couple of other moving pieces, and largely also getting the liquidity program sized back up for the next year of benefit payments. We presented an annual funding plan where we talked about our approach to this, saying we're going to largely bring money out of the growth assets in order to fund this up. That was the game plan. That was the game plan going in. That was the game plan that we followed as the markets generally did not move enough to cause us to change course of action there. So we had communicated earlier in the phase 2B targets that there was a couple managers that were going to go away in this process. Those were the two in-tech portfolios, the U.S. equity portfolio and the global equity portfolio that Ed touched on, and the PIMCO Stocks Plus portfolio. So none of those three had strategic positions long-term. This was the time to take them out. All three portfolios were liquidated in conjunction with this rebalancing here in late July. We did solicit bids from our transition managers. We ultimately decided that the PIMCO portfolio was best liquidated by PIMCO because of the synthetic nature of it. You'll recall it's a bond portfolio with futures on the S&P 500. Those bond portfolios were invested largely synthetically. It's just easier to have PIMCO unwind those than to transfer registration to a transition manager and have them unwind. It was going to be 6 weeks if a transition manager does it. PIMCO can do it at low cost in about 3 days. So we had PIMCO do that. On the in-tech portfolios, we got...
Which is way better than using a transition manager.
Yeah, the time scale was completely different, and we thought PIMCO could do it at low cost. And they did.
Out of curiosity, how much dollars and cents, how much money did we save by PIMCO doing it rather than going through a transition manager? Just a ballpark figure.
I don't have that number in front of me here. These were roughly equal numbers. The cost of transacting on that bond portfolio is relatively low. I can come back to you with a firmer number, but.
Or basis points either.
Yeah, do you recall?
Yeah, the explicit costs are pretty much the same no matter who does it, the cost of transacting a security. I think that was somewhere in the 2 to 4 basis point range.
Yeah.
Where the bigger cost comes in is the time scale that they do it. So if you
since
sell everything
they do it in a shorter term
versus selling it over a month.
Got it.
The market impact.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but we're talking small basis points here. Yeah.
All right.
In the in-tech portfolio, you know, the bids from the transition manager were materially different than the cost estimates from in-tech. We made the call that in-tech should go ahead and self-liquidate those portfolios. Again, in the interest of operational efficiency and timeliness. So those three portfolios were liquidated along with another $293 million. And I'm on page 2 here. If we take a look at that table of all the flows, the manager terminations, the employer prepayments, and then we took money off the table with Emerald, Pierford, William Blair, Artisan, and Allianz, and that was largely just relative performance of those managers had been stronger versus other managers in the lineup, so they were over their targets. So in total, almost $1 billion of capital was raised, and I don't want to downplay how much money was in motion here. It was a large pool of capital. Where the money went was the refreshing of the liquidity program. About $500 million went there. So this essentially was the present value of benefit payments that we expect to make between July 2020 and June 2021. So we take a look at those projections from the actuary. We apply a discount rate of the current portfolio yields, and that got us to about this $500 million number. So that was the incremental money that was deployed there. The other pieces were largely topping up managers that we had experienced relative underperformance or were in the build-out phase. TT being the exception, though, that was their initial funding. We got the contracting done just in time where we could fund them, do their initial funding, concurrent with all the other money that was in motion. So we had a lot of pieces lined up, and thankfully everything came together in a timely manner. If you take a look at page 3, we talk about where we were on June 30th, the dollars that we rebalanced, and where we were on August 1st, because the rebalancing does take place on July 31 and August 1st, so it crosses over that month end there. So if you take a look at the August 1st values, and we were notably on the bottom, you'll see a number that starts with an 8 for the first time.
Come again?
You'll see a number that starts with 8. $8 billion.
We
crossed over the $8 billion mark.
Yeah. No cakes. No cakes, please.
There has been a ban on cakes for every incremental billion dollars for a number of years. Cakes, barbecues, or any.
So you think, no, don't do a bar. We did a barbecue, and the next day we were.
Tim commenting on it is about as far as we're going to get.
No barbecue. Nice job. Let's fine. Keep going.
Yeah.
Tim, can you comment on the asset value, this asset value compared to the one that's in the Verus report? Because there's a slight difference there.
There's a slight difference there, and that usually comes down to how the private markets numbers are captured and recorded. This is done more in real time, so it's usually a more lagged net asset value coupled with cash flows. Verus has a clean, you know, is doing their report at a later date. They usually have updated NAVs there. So this is kind of a real time where we were plus cash flows. Verus has the advantage of producing this at a later point in time. They usually have updated NAVs there. Public markets are going to be the same. Yeah. It's the private markets where you're going to see the small differences there.
Jim, I called you yesterday and I talked to you about this, and I want to bring it up so trustees know this. I remember this is old school, and this is where our policy, investment policy used to be, that we would never be more than 10% in any one fund. And as a result of the rebalancing, we put Insight at 11.7% of our current fund, which is, you know, 1.7 over what I traditionally used to think of as the watermark. So in talking with you yesterday about this, I got somewhat appeased by it. But for me, just with the liquidity part of this portfolio, how far would you go with putting money in, and what percentage of our fund would you consider to be adequate? How far?
Okay, so let me split that in two. One, yes, the manager is at 11.7% as of August 1st, but you'll notice the phase 2B target was at 12.6. That's a board ownership of that outcome. You'll recall that was a board resolution. We talked about the 12.6%, and the board approved that target allocation.
What, board approved 12.6?
12.6. That was based upon the dollars that need to be deployed to defease 4 years of benefit payments and then translate it back through into a percentage of total fund. We talked about this roughly $2 billion. What does that look like in terms of total fund? Roughly just over a quarter of the plan. And we said in its current construct, the liquidity program is half to Insight, a quarter each to DFA and SIP. So that was a simple mathematical calculation there. The dollars translated back into a percent. Jerry, specifically to your question, I think, you know, there was a very robust conversation when we reset the investment policy statement last year about what role individual manager limits should have in setting policy. And there is a lot of conversation about, is that a policy-level decision or is that an operational-level decision? And I think the consensus among Cicero executive staff and the consultant was there needs to be a risk-informed limit. And that would be set in another board resolution. But the risk-informed limit, and what I mean by that is if it's a low-risk investment in terms of low volatility of the positions, we own the securities, we have control of the securities, it's not a heavy trading strategy, we could afford a larger position there without imperiling Cicero.
Yeah.
If it was a high volatility investment with a lockup period and that sort of thing, that needed to be scaled down. But until we actually have that conversation with the trustees about how to set the risk, we didn't set the specific limits. We had written specific limits and said, you know, that needs to be a conversation with the trustees about risk and how risk should influence these limits. We do intend to have the risk discussion with the trustees at the November. Are we confirmed for November? Offsite?
Confirmed for November.
Yes. So at the November offsite, we're going to have...
November.
Christine's going like this. Look over there.
No, because I knew it.
So we have the November offsite. One of the discussion items there will be a conversation with the trustees about
how far?
Well, how to think about risk and how to think about what risk means to this organization, to the trustees, what that means from a policy level position, what that means from an operational level position.
Between now and then, I'm going to go back to my same question. Between now and then, how much would you, what percentage would you allow in the liquidity part of this program?
Well, the liquidity part, remember, is going to be drawn down every month.
I got that.
So it's going down every month until we get to next July where we top it back up again. So at 11.7 is as high as it's going to be unless we have the rest of the portfolio drop dramatically. But the dollars here, the $961 million deployed into Insight, that will get drawn down every month until next July, and then it'll get refreshed with the next year of benefit payments. And we'll have another conversation with the trustees before that happens.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
All right.
I know. It's not old school.
Sometimes I like old school, though. All right.
I get where you're coming from. But the net effect here, just to wrap this up, was large deployments into short-duration fixed income. Roughly $500 million going into short-duration fixed income, several hundred million dollars, $484 million coming out of U.S. equity at the end of July, about net $225 million going into global and non-U.S. equity, and then smaller deployments across the rest of the portfolio. So the rotation there was out of U.S. equity, which had had a good, strong run, into non-U.S. equity, which had also had a good run, but we'd been underexposed relative to our strategic targets. And then a rotation back into fixed income in the form of buying that next fourth year of benefit payments. So $952 million redeployed very smoothly without really any hiccups. And happy to take any questions from the trustees about the mechanics of this here.
12 or 13% of the fund. And in the quick math, that
it is.
That was a big slug.
It was a big slug.
Yeah.
It was a lot of planning that went into what ended up being a very smooth transition.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
This is nicely done.
All right. Thank you.
Any other questions, comments? Okay. Thank you.